Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, you're free to support whatever you want. Say what you want in most places. Sometimes there are consequences and repercussions.
Can't say what you want anymore.
Well, you can do certain things. Well, we had a TikToker who went by a New Jersey restaurant and ripped down all their flags, thinking they were Israeli flags, but they were Greek flags. A dim-witted anti-Israel TikToker filmed herself tearing down flags outside this New Jersey restaurant, not realizing they were Greek. The time I mistakenly thought the flag for Greek was for Israel and took the restaurant's flag down. OMG, the woman goes by Ambamelia. Titled her video. It had 3.2 million views, but you just look like an ass. And there's so many people. There's got to be a better way to get your message across than ruining somebody else's business or these dumbasses that stand out on the highway and try to block the road. I don't care what, even the people that were gluing their hands to the NBA arenas and the floor, or going into a Starbucks and gluing their hand to the, they had one, there was an actor that did that. The old actor from Babe. You know, the pig movie?
Here's the deal.
Is it James Cromwell? Is that his name?
Here's the deal. If you knew who he was, he wouldn't have done it. That's why he did it.
Well, and again, this whole thing here, you're going up to a restaurant, you have no idea what you're talking about. You see it, and then you're like, oh, watch this. I'll film myself ripping this down. It's just, there's just too many people doing dumb things. I was just talking about, you've seen the pranks that go on?
Yeah.
Like people, oh, settle down, man. This is just a prank video. No, a-hole, I'm going through my day, and you're trying to do something stupid and be a smartass. You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I can't wait for the day that one of these guys just gets their ass absolutely beat for doing something stupid.
And then they'll call the police.
Yeah, no. You don't understand. I'm an influencer. Well, you just got your ass influenced onto the ground and the crap beat out of you. Because there's so many dumb things that go on. But I can't stand this stuff, man. If you have no idea what you're talking about, don't go down ripping people's flags. You shouldn't even be ripping the Israeli flags down, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And now you're doing this, like... One thing has nothing to do with somebody's here with a restaurant or their business, and because you don't get to change who you are. That's why when people brought up the stupid ass thing with Robert Salah wearing a Lebanese flag, it's like, maybe that's why they fired him. Because he's Lebanese? He can't wear the flag? Are you kidding me?
Well, didn't
and that
didn't
was BS.
He, didn't wasn't he asked to do it the first time?
The NFL 2 years ago asked players of different nationalities to start supporting where they're from,
right,
by putting those flags on their, hoodies or outfits, whatever. And it's just a kind of, I think they're trying, growing this thing worldly. They want people to see that there's all different walks of life in the league. Let's go on to this next story. Let's talk about Fireman Ed. So he's upset that he's not getting enough TV time. And I mean this with all due respect, because we know some super fans here, guys that are getting attention. We talked to Trippy and Rashawn. Trippy's an influencer now.
Right.
He's on the wall at the Ravens game. This is never about you guys. It's not. Like, you're a fan just like everyone else. You've got a little bit more pull. Maybe you have more access. You're around more. You talk to the players. You post this stuff. It's cool. It's not about putting Fireman Ed's sorry ass on the big screen. Or you quit on your team, by the way, a couple of years ago. And then now you're back when you think they're going to be good? Screw Fireman Ed and anybody else that's self-entitled that think they're better than everyone else.
They are the team. I'm on the team. He's the type of guy that if they won a Super Bowl trophy, he would... Let me stop.
Yeah.
They're not winning a Super Bowl trophy.
Somebody wrote the definition of... So once he posted this video of him talking about they're trying to phase him out, somebody wrote, definition of entitlement. Boo-hoo, I'm not on the big screen at the stadium. Can we trade him to a West Coast team, said another person. All of my friends who are Jets fan and myself find him extremely annoying. He also denounced the team not too long ago. Fans want to focus on watching football. You're not bigger than the game. You're not more important to the team. And just because you've done this for years and you've shown yourself to be a super fan, doesn't mean they owe you squat. They don't.
He's the guy that he probably doesn't even know what's going on in the game.
No.
He's probably the guy that's always looking up on the Jumbotron to see if he's up on the Jumbotron.
Yep.
He went home butthurt. They used to put me on the Jumbotron 10 times a game. Now it's only 4. Man, shut up.
Yeah, and somebody else wrote, his time has come and gone. Didn't he give up on the Jets a few years ago?
Nobody forgets that.
Yeah.
Stop acting like we don't remember that, Fireman Ed. We remember. I'm not even a Jets fan, and I remember you turning your back on him.
Yeah, be upset. Show up at the game with a bag on your head if that's what you want to do. But everybody will know it's you because you're still standing up looking at the big screen hoping that they show you.
With a fireman hat on. Thanks for your service.
One sad story that if you missed this yesterday, 31 years old, One Direction star Liam Payne died after falling off a hotel balcony in Argentina. The way that the story went is that he went down to visit one of the other members of One Direction that was having his concert. I'm trying to remember which guy it was. It'll come to me in a second. But that being said, he posted something on Instagram or TikTok, one of the two, almost an hour before he died, a half an hour before the news came out that he had fallen. And there were even people saying, I didn't get to see it, so if I'm wrong on this, I'm sorry. But I saw people posting that TMZ was posting the body pictures all over online. How do you feel about that?
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Like, there was all that stuff of people trying to get the Kobe information and pictures when the helicopter crashed.
The difference with Kobe is they did it and didn't let the family didn't know yet.
But that's my point.
If the family knew about him, I guess it's in bounds. I just don't like it.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, there's some things that don't need to be posted. You don't need to put the picture up. You can say it happened. But everybody wants that clickbait. The other part of this is, with how quickly this all came down and you had the pictures, I don't think his family and everyone knew. I think it would be really hard. The fact that he posted a video an hour before and an hour later the news is out that he's dead. And I don't know, he's in Argentina. I don't know if this is something where we've seen strange things happen down in South America. And I'm not trying to label Argentina or whatever. Colombia being the kidnapping capital of the world, all the things that go on. We watched Arturo Gatti.
Yeah.
He died in Brazil.
Yeah.
And there's some things that surrounded that made people question. So falling off a balcony, were you pushed? Were you shoved? Did you jump? I'm assuming more details will come out, but either way you slice it, this is just a terrible story. And
Jared, just to let you know, part of this though, pictures of his room came out. The place is completely trash. There's drugs everywhere. There's tinfoil everywhere. Hmm. It looks as though he was smoking pills or crack.
Okay.
And he apparently was super drunk, super messed up all day, tried to go down to the pool. They wouldn't let him into the pool. They forcibly removed him from the lobby and took him back up to his room. Then they said that it was almost as if his balcony overlooked the pool, and it's like he was trying to sneak into the pool area.
I think he was visiting Niall Horan.
He's been here before, too.
Yeah.
I have the pictures, but like the hotel room is just like trashed. Like he broke the TV, smashed his laptop.
And
apparently he's had a lot of trouble with drugs and alcohol in the past. A couple of years ago, his One Direction band members were like, you need to get help. This is getting out of hand.
See, and the part of this, and I'll wrap it up with this, is that either way, if all those things are true, this ends up being a sad story no matter what happens. 31-year-old kid loses his life, and I do say kid, even though I'm only 14 years older than him. Just a sad, sad story.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Kahn. Gordon McGinnis joins us at 8:30, but on the other side, Patrick Mahomes is the betting favorite for MVP with Lamar second. Do you agree with Vegas? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Turn my snare up.
AM 8:17 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Sarasota, taking care of business.
Ed was texting me last night. He said he just started watching the Penguin series and he loves it. I think it's the best thing on TV.
I'm going to do it today. I was so tired yesterday, Jeremy, when I got home. I crashed.
You ain't got to tell me.
I slept till 3.
You'd think I have narcolepsy now. The fact that I can't sleep at night, I'll be sitting on the couch and all of a sudden, I'm out. And I'm like, did we win? Watching a game and just those. I'm like,
we didn't play. We didn't even play.
Don't let me around a bowl of soup. I might fall asleep in it.
Gordon McGinnis joins us at 8:30. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is the betting favorite to win the MVP award this year. I love me some Patrick Mahomes. You know that. I love him. But other than his team being undefeated, hadn't he thrown an interception in like every game this year?
Mm-hmm.
What has Pat Mahomes done? Let me give you his numbers before we go into that. He's completing 69% of his passes. He has 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and a passer rating of 88.9.
He has 6 touchdowns through 5 weeks, right? They were on a bye last week?
Yeah. And 6 interceptions. He has more interceptions than games played.
Well, I think this is going off of name recognition and what he's capable of doing. They can't change the market and drop him down because I think everybody would bet the hell out of him on an undefeated team. And we got to remember, this is a vote. So there is the human element that comes into this and how it's going to go down for who wins the award. Now, the other thing about this is a lot of times the betting markets, as they're set up, they're trying to get you, they want you to bet different things. They want it across the board. Only one person or only one guy is going to win the award, which means they're only going to pay out for the people that have that. So they want to get as many bets on the other guys as well. So do I think Lamar should be favored even at 4-2? Yeah. It's interesting because Jaden Daniels is now in that conversation too, but people keep forgetting about some of the other guys that are playing really well. Sam Darnold. What about the Vikings being undefeated? I know nobody wants to give attention because it's Sam Darnold, but these are other names that should be in that mix, but I do think Lamar should be the favorite. I mean, I just showed you that offensive efficiency chart that he that was out there and how well the Ravens offense is performing. It's the best offense in the league, and it's not close.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers, and then you flip to Lamar's numbers on a 4-2 team, all granted. But Lamar's completing 67% of his passes, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, passer rated to 108.4. Oh, and by the way, 403 yards rushing in 6 games as well.
You start adding in the other stuff, and it just
2,000 yards of total offense already.
The Ravens right now in the backfield, in my opinion, if they stay healthy, have not only the MVP of the league, they also have the offensive player of the year. You know how ridiculous that is?
Yeah.
I mean, first off, that's an embarrassment of riches. We've seen teams, we were talking about the Texans last year, right? They had the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And now you start looking at it going, okay, where are we going next year? And then you look at what's transpiring here and seeing offensive player of the year, because that's typically what the best running back or wide receiver is going to win. Because they're not usually going to give them the MVP, and quarterback's going to win that award.
410-583-1057 is the number. So, Jeremy, you explained why Patrick Mahomes is number one, but do you, based on your eyes, do you agree with it?
No. No, not at all.
He shouldn't even be number two.
From a betting standpoint, if their record, let's say they keep stacking W's. Now, they have San Francisco this week, and then they're, I think, a one-point underdog, and it's kind of like, for me, this is a San Fran spot, but let's not forget how good Kansas City is off a bye week. But there's some real issues with this team. This is more of a defensive team than it is an offensive team, and that's weird to say with Pat Mahomes being on that side of the ball.
Facts, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Baltimore, get Rashawn. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fella.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right, man. Hey, Rob, man, I'm going to see you tonight, man.
That's right.
At the little joint, man. You know,
yeah, we have 2 tickets to give away also today for Smoketoberfest, but you already have yours.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know,
hey, don't give him any of the ones I might be buying.
He's got VIP.
Yeah, they're going to have that top shelf bourbon there tonight. You normally drink the best of the best, though, man.
Man, you once thought Baker's Mark was the best of the best.
No, it's Envy's Angel.
What's up, man? You know, I like that Winston Reserve or something. No, I mean Woodford. Woolford?
Yeah, Woolford, man.
Yeah. You'll stop. Yeah. We'll show you about, man. Stop.
Wussel.
Whatever, man. Hey, listen, man. Listen, all this Patrick Mahomes talk, man, like, I think the guy, he's not having a good season at all. Like, he's like, what, like 5 interceptions, right?
6.
6, yeah. I was
in 5 games,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, far as the eye test, man, it's clearly Lamar Jackson. I'm not even being a homer right now. You know, like, you ask anybody in the league. Like, the Chiefs shouldn't even be undefeated right now. You know, they got a couple good calls from the refs. The refs clearly on their side. So, man, my opinion is definitely Lamar Jackson should be MVP. But I know from a betting standpoint, everybody, you know, I guess Mahomes is the favorite. And where is Derrick Henry at in this? Is he like, what is his odds right now? MVP?
To win it, I mean, it's way off because it's, again, this is a quarterback's award. To win it as a running back, you have to, and he's capable of this because he's done it before.
2,000 yards.
You got to hit a 2,000 yard season or
20 touchdowns.
Maybe approach the 20 touchdown mark.
Hey, Rashawn, always remember, it's a quarterback world. Y'all just living in it.
Who was the last running back to win it, though?
I think Peterson.
Peterson. Adrian Peterson.
Oh, Peterson.
Yeah. But he split it, though, didn't he? Did he split it, or was he the sole winner?
I thought he won it. That's the year he came back from, after he came back from that injury so quickly.
So the last year it was split was McNair and Manning, then. Mm-hmm. That would have been way.
Henry is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's record. Not by much. Adrian Peterson missed it by 7 yards, but Lamar is also on pace to be the first quarterback to ever throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000 yards.
But they have easily, like I said, it's MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Stop. If they continue on this pace, it's going there.
Stop for 1 second. Rewind, Joe. Say that again, Joe.
Lamar is on pace to become the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards and run for 1,000 yards.
I'm going to stop you for a second. Jeremy, you're not far behind me. You remember playing Madden as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember when Madden got to the point where you could create your own player, right?
Yeah.
Those are the numbers that player you created.
That's what you were doing, yeah.
And people would say, you can't do that. You're cheating. Nobody does that. Remember that?
Yeah, you're running back 6'10", and he's got 99s and everything.
But no, your quarterback would throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 1,000 yards. Joe, people would say you can't do that because that'll never happen.
You'd win games like 73-3, something like that.
And here you are saying Lamar Jackson is on pace to rush for 1,000 and throw for 4,000. That is, how many touchdowns is that? 30?
I didn't see that part. I think I saw one of them that said it was like 38 total touchdowns or something like that. But
all I'm saying is this: Steve, if he does that, Steve Bisciotti is saying, man, I'm glad he did that before the contract.
Greatest contract in NFL history then.
I'm glad. He will become Max Scherzer. You know what I mean by that?
What?
The Nationals paid Max Scherzer a ridiculous amount of money when he first signed. Midway through that contract, it was a bargain.
Yeah.
He will become Max Scherzer.
It's the one of I mean, there's probably a few of them, but it's the one that really stands out.
Yeah.
A pitcher getting a long-term deal in this day and age in baseball.
Then you're like, damn,
and
glad we signed them.
Yeah, doing a better, like most of the time, the back end of those contracts, you're not getting what you paid for at the beginning.
Coach Lockley joins us at 9, but on the other side, Pro Football Focus own Gordon McGinnis right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:32 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now from PFF. It's been a while. Gordon McGinnis. Gordon, did I miss something? Because it's been a while.
I think you were off when we had Gordon on.
Last week? I was here.
We had him on then. You're just, maybe you're just dull or silly. I don't know.
There was one. I think Rob was off. It was a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it was last week.
Gordon, you don't have to save him. Let him dig that ditch and bury himself.
Jeremy, shut up. Ass. Don't be starting stuff. Sit back. Comb your beard or something. Put some condition on it. Hey, Joe, hey Gordon, we just talked last segment about Lamar Jackson being number two in Vegas in the MVP vote behind Patrick Mahomes. And we not understand that's Vegas. And then Joe, our producer, gave me a stat that I was not aware of. Lamar Jackson is on pace to be the first 4,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher. I don't recall anybody not only doing that, but being on the pace to do it this deep into the season. What has the evolution of Lamar Jackson been from your vantage point?
I think when you look at how he's evolved in two ways, so like throughout his career, he's evolved pretty much every season. You know, he's got better at everything. Came into the NFL as a guy who was a really good thrower in college, but when he came into the NFL, that first year was based heavily around his rushing talents. He's got better every single year. And then even within the Todd Monken offense, like we've now seen him taking command at the line of scrimmage. Like the clips the Ravens are putting out from things like Wired and stuff like that, you're seeing how he has control of things, and there's a lot of analysts pointing out him making changes at the line of scrimmage and all those things. So he is a player who is, as well as being incredibly talented, I think has continued to get better at the nuances of the game, which is a really special thing for the Ravens.
It's great to see a student, you know, a young player. Sometimes quarterbacks become students when they get older and lose their physical ability, but it's great to see him do that, Jeremy, while he's at the top of his game.
Yeah, I love seeing some of the accolades he's getting from not only peers, but people that are watching, understanding now that it's not just, this isn't a running back that's throwing the football. The guy's got talent. But staying with that backfield, because we all keep saying it, they might have the MVP and the Offensive Player of the Year in the same backfield. What are your thoughts on what we've seen from Derrick Henry, and can he keep this up?
It's been exactly as advertised, and it's really fun. Like, I remember thinking in the offseason, like, I really wanted to see this partnership because I just wanted to see how it would work. Because I think something we've talked about a few times from happening on before, the stress it puts on a defense, both mentally and physically, to have to deal with Lamar Jackson as a passer and a runner who can break, contain, and go outside, and then deal with a running back who has the speed and power combination that Derrick Henry has. So what I think we're seeing is that Derrick Henry's addition has given defenses an extra thing to focus on, but it's also taken away the need for Lamar to win games with his legs for the Ravens. It's allowing them to win games on the ground without having to overly rely on Lamar, and they can now use him. You're starting to see a couple of times now they've turned to him as the closer again, when he keeps the ball on the final play and gets the last few yards that they need to close it out.
Yeah, it's unreal to see that backfield of the Baltimore Ravens here with Gordon McGinnis from PFF. Gordon, you're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers in this division, the 4-2 tie for the top of the division with the Steelers, and a possibility, strong possibility, of a quarterback change. We look at the record and think maybe Justin Fields was doing a good job, but what do the numbers say about the job that he's done through the first six games?
The numbers say that he's been okay. So, you know, his final season in Chicago as well, like he was better as a passer to be in his first couple of years. It's similar in Pittsburgh. I think the important thing though is through six games, he only has five passing touchdowns. And I think it's important to remember that he wasn't expected to be the starter. You know, they were pretty positive that it was going to be Russell Wilson before his injury. And, you know, now that he is back fully healthy, they appear to be ready to give him the chance there. I do think it's interesting. I am not entirely confident that Wilson will be a better quarterback for the Steelers than Justin Fields was, and it wouldn't surprise me if we see another shift later in the year. But I think Mike Tomlin has probably looked at the last couple of weeks, and he's seen Justin Fields regress a little bit as a passer in those weeks and thinks he has to make a change.
Hey, Gordon, two big trades that went down with the Buffalo Bills getting Amari Cooper. It's funny because I was going to bring up how bad Deshaun Watson's been, but we can save that for a later date. And Davante Adams going to the Jets. Any one of those do anything for you? Because I'm more interested in Cooper with the Bills because I feel like they really need that guy.
They definitely had the bigger need. And I think it's really interesting, and I'm intrigued to see how it goes the rest of the way, because I feel like Amari Cooper's always been that guy who's kind of, he's not quite the top end wide receiver one, but he's better than a wide receiver two, which for what the Bills have right now will make a big difference. And they really have lacked someone who can be the kind of focal point of that passing attack. So I think that can have a big impact. And I think for the Jets, it gives them another really good option. I think Garrett Wilson, we've seen in the last couple of weeks, started to really show what he's capable of. So it does give them the option, and they badly needed an injection into that passing attack.
There he is, Gordon McGinnis, PFF. Gordon, tell folks all about PFF, my friend.
Yeah, if you head to PFF, we've just recently launched some in-game grading, so you can actually see how a player's graded. For me, it's most useful right after a game, and then everything gets locked down again before we get the All-22 and review everything.
Always enjoy your time, Gordon. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gordon.
Bye, buddy. 410-583-1057 is the number. Jeremy, there are two guys on this team that you and I were polar opposites about as opposed to where we are with him now.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Kyle Hamilton didn't want him, didn't think it would work, thought you were putting a you know, square in a circle box. You know, yeah. I just didn't think it would work.
Round peg versa. In a square hole, square peg in a round hole.
You thought the same thing about Lamar Jackson. You and I both have completely, the complete 180 on both players.
I can't believe you were wrong. What an idiot. How could you say that?
Now, I can't believe the numbers, the pace.
He's on pace for 5,400 total yards.
4,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing for a quarterback, for anybody. It's unbelievable. It'll be his first 4,000-yard passing season, but not his first 1,000-yard rushing season.
You know how I feel about wins and losses and that they shouldn't go by quarterbacks' names.
But what's his record?
Oh, jeez. Let me go back to
this. Was it 58-19?
Something like that. It's ridiculous.
I think it's
58-19.
One game away from being 40 over 500.
It's just unbelievable to look at his statistics and what he's put up this year and think that it's possible that he keeps doing this and stacking these W's, man.
Joe says 62-21
in 7 years. Yeah, so they were doing this with the first 6 years. So
okay,
you know.
So now that includes his record this year.
Yeah.
So he's 62-21. So he's 41 games over 500. Now the reason why you coincide that well, you can do it because keep in mind the Ravens went 10-6 his first year. That's because he went 6-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other part of this, too, that like what you're talking about is you start, he's one of the few people that I think, I'm not saying he deserves to have a win by his name, but he does so much that I don't have a problem when people bring up what his record is.
And this is, Joe just said, counting playoffs 66-26. So the guy's, either way, he's 40 games over 500.
Every three wins, you get one loss.
Exactly. So my question to you, Baltimore, for those of you who doubt it, that sounded like the beginning of a Kirk Franklin song, didn't it? For those of you, who doubt it, are you sold now? 410-583-1057. For those of you who doubt it, the Lamar Jackson experiment, are you sold now? Want to hear from you right here on The Fan.
To me, who is harder to defend, you know, and who is giving defensive coordinators more sleepless nights during the week to prepare for than him? I don't think there's anybody. I really think he's going to be a 10,000-yard rusher in this league when it's all said and done. And I think he's going to have 50,000-plus passing yards, which is insane. And I think him becoming better and better inside the pocket is only going to help him be a more sustainable runner moving forward.
That's Matt Ryan, courtesy of CBS Sports, on Lamar Jackson. When former quarterbacks and current quarterbacks show you love like that, Matt Ryan was a passer. He was a passer. He wasn't mobile or other. So he's commenting on Lamar Jackson, the quarterback.
And Matt Ryan ran his own offense his rookie year.
Yeah.
That's why
we gave him the nod over Joe.
Well, he was doing that from day one.
Yeah.
There's a lot more you could do with him. So, you and I were talking in the commercial break about all this. It's like, if you guys are going to miss appreciating greatness here for as long as Lamar stays here and plays. And granted, I know the end-all be-all is winning a Super Bowl, and that's what everybody wants. But you can't tell me you're not excited every Sunday to go watch him play. Because there's a lot of times you're seeing stuff that you've never seen before. I mean, hell, he almost caught his own pass in the AFC Championship and took it to the house. It's just crazy.
His worst game this year was a passer rating of 81. That was against the Raiders. After that, his worst game was a passer rating of 114.7.
He just keeps getting better and better, and they're like significant strides year after year. And now, as we've pointed out with the offensive coordinators, you feel like you have the right one. You don't want to let him go anywhere, right? We've talked about all these openings for jobs in the offseason. If the Ravens have the number one offense, his name is going to get brought up, linked to every single job that's out there, speaking of Todd Monken. But now it's finally nice to know, okay, we got an offensive coordinator we trust and like. You've got Derrick Henry in the backfield, so you have a real, not to dismiss Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. This is the best running back.
Presence.
One of them in the football.
More of a presence. And I just want to hear from you all, you know, good or bad. For those of you who doubted it, didn't like this at the time that he drafted him, Lamar, that is, are you sold now or not? This is what gets me. He'll be 28 in January, all right? normally quarterbacks are 32, 33 years old before they start talking about being cerebral. You know what I mean? That part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that's still physically better than everybody else that's moved into the cerebral already. That's what makes him dangerous. The fact that he could outrun you and be physically dominant over you, and then you hear Logan Paulson talk about the mental part of the game and how Lamar Jackson just completely mind-screwed the defensive coaching staff of the Washington Commanders on Sunday. He just blew their minds. To hear that, so now he can just, he can, how do you want it? You want me to just physically beat you? Or you want me to think my way through this and beat you? He did both on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, look, changing the play at the line of scrimmage and moving it to something that works. Like, if you get a chance, you can hear some of the audio of he and Derrick Henry on the field for that last drive and how they're responding to one another, how they're talking, what they're looking for. And when you're going to close out games, it's so important. It's one or two plays that decides whether or not they're getting the ball back.
And that's why Derrick Henry says, the best quarterback in the league, stop playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just what he's doing physically. You know what I mean? Derrick Henry's probably making a connection with a quarterback that he probably hadn't had his whole career. No disrespect to Ryan Tannehill. But to compare Ryan Tannehill to Lamar Jackson would be disrespectful to Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Yes.
Let's just be honest.
Well, even saying Jaden Daniels, Lamar's a poor man, Jaden Daniels, is disrespectful to Lamar.
Oh, my gosh. Get over it.
That's so stupid.
Will you please get over that?
It's so dumb. Clickbait. Got me.
He got you. For 3 weeks, they've had you. That's the dumbest thing probably ever written.
Pissed me off.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I could tell. They reversed it. I don't think they pissed you off.
I thought it was raining.
Yeah, evidently. But yeah, just, you know, and the naysayers don't come out until, let them have two interceptions on Monday night and they lose to Tampa. Because
did you say naysayers?
It. Yeah.
Okay, you can say it. I can't, I guess.
They'll come out then. I told you guys talking about Lamar. I told you he's not there yet. He's still not the guy. He's still not this. He's still not that. They'll come out then.
Now that
he's riding high, nobody wants to talk.
Well, you know what it was before. It still rings true. The people that said he was going to get hurt running, they're waiting for him to get hurt. Oh, running quarterback, he's going to get hurt and you're not going to have him. And then when the injuries happen, even if it happens in the pocket or something off the field, it's like, hey.
He runs too much.
I told you. I told you this was going to happen. But, again, I don't know why more people aren't. There's a lot of people that are sitting back and enjoying what they're watching. Don't get me wrong. But there's still so many people that would rather be right in saying that he's not a good quarterback than to have one of the best quarterbacks in the league on your football team year after year, and he's fun to watch, too. I mean, like, there's – if you ask me the one
person – is he the most entertaining guy in the league right now?
Well, I'm a wide receiver guy, so if you take wide receivers out of it, I love watching them. Yeah, he's the most entertaining guy in the league. Not close.
Listen – if you take wide receiver, what wide receiver is more entertaining?
Justin Jefferson.
Get out of here, man.
That guy's route running, doing gritties, faking the gritty injury and dance. That's a bad man. Jamar Chase, that's a bad man.
They're more entertaining than Lamar Jackson.
To me.
Okay. All right.
But I'm always going to have wide receivers on a pedestal over the rest of these cats.
That's dumb.
Wide receivers over everyone.
Why would you have one position on a pedestal over? That's just stupid.
No, it's not.
Everybody knows quarterbacks are better than everybody else.
They get paid like it.
Everybody knows that. I think he's the most entertaining player in football. Lamar.
That's fair. But
the most entertaining player in football. He's the guy. He is must-see TV for me. And I'm going to be honest. There was a time probably leading up to Lamar from 2012, I would say from 2014 up to Lamar, I was watching the Ravens because it was my job. They weren't fun to me. They weren't interesting to me. You lost Ray, you lost Ed, you lost, you know what I mean? Just, I watch it because I love the fact when back then I would go and watch it in this room down here in the hall where we had all of the whole building, and me and Vinny would drink wine and eat pizza. I shouldn't say that because we had the pros game show today. Anyway, you know what I mean? That made it fun, but they weren't fun. Now, regardless of whether they're my team or not, this is must-see TV.
Let me tell you why wide receivers are more exciting than every other position. Let me go back to that. Do you remember when the Patriots got knocked off in the Super Bowl by the Giants? What do you remember from that game?
Eli Manning. I think they spelled
F-U, F you, Eli because Manning. What everyone remembers is David Tyree's catch, not Eli Manning's pass.
Eli Manning and the poise, so they remember. The confidence that he had. Wait a minute. Did you see what Eli Manning did to get rid of the ball?
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal. But he ain't pinned that ball to his helmet. No matter how good that pass is, if he doesn't come down with it, it doesn't mean squat. It's the same thing when people say, man, that Odell Beckham catch with the one hand going into the end zone with the pass interference is the greatest catch I've ever seen. Nobody talks about who threw him the damn ball.
Because they shouldn't. That was a great catch. Yes. They shouldn't. But you asked me what I remember about the Super Bowl. I remember Eli Manning.
Shut up. You knew where I was going with
it. I know the play, but that's not what I remember. I remember Eli.
No, you remember David Tyree.
I remember Eli beating the greatest quarterback of all time once. And then when he threw the ball down the sideline, that great pass he threw, when the receiver stayed in bounds, great pass.
And I hate bringing it up.
Great pass.
On that great comeback that the Falcons had, nobody brings up Tom Brady being excellent. They bring up that Julian Edelman catch.
No, they don't. They bring up Tom Brady.
All right, that was a bad one. By the way, the catch that Julian Edelman had in the Super Bowl, where it's bouncing around and he's laying on the ground and pulled, it's still one of the most, like, that's just classic concentration. And I'm not talking about the old game show. No whammy. Stop. On Big Bucks. That's what he did. He stopped on Big Bucks and he caught the ball.
That wasn't even the best one in that game.
What do you mean?
Who's the Falcons wide receiver?
Julio Jones.
The one that he had on the sideline, I think that he's literally vertical. I think it's arguably better than that
one. It's not better.
Because Julian Edelman's is concentration. Julio Jones is skill and concentration.
He has two guys laying on top of him in a presence of mind to get his hand out and pull that ball in.
Whatever.
Sounds like a Saturday night for you.
I'm going to pull that ball in no matter what. We're going to get it in there.
410-583-1057.
What am I doing with that?
Dan Lanning's 12-man loophole was closed up quickly by the NCAA. We'll talk about that at 9:15, but on the other side, Mike Locksley, head coach of the Maryland Terps, joins us up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.